Thank you, Susan and Debbie, for that message and the opportunity. Our Old Testament reading kicks off our scripture for the day and actually kicks off scripture as a whole from the first chapter of Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading comes also from the very beginning, this time of just one book of the Bible, the Gospel of Mark. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Some of the best preaching advice I've been given, is that I should preach what is in my prayers. On Wednesday afternoon, we all saw a violent mob who refused to acknowledge the fact of the results of last November's election, attack and occupy our nation's Capitol building. And this has filled my prayers. In a day after that, another minister shared the following. "In the hours after the assault on the Capitol, I was talking to a much younger friend, he's 22. I sense that he saw the events of January 6th as less shocking than I did, as almost resigned to them, or that they were somehow normal, like some video game that just happened to play out in real life. And then I remembered that this is how much public and private discourse has been over his lifetime. It saddened me greatly," he said. "It saddens me, and this too has filled my prayers." I would like to think that this is not the way people are or always interact, and it shouldn't be how we interact now, moving forward. Now, I know there's a lot of sensitivity about bringing politics into our religious settings and discussions. But when people bring my religion into their politics, I at times feel compelled to reflect upon our faith. If you were watching Wednesday, you saw that there were many of those there quite literally claiming the banner of Jesus Christ for their efforts. There displayed flags that said Jesus saves and even Jesus 2020 right alongside the other banners and Confederate flag that were being waved. It was not only a moral failure in some ways we saw on display, but also a faith distortion. And the roots of these events and what happened obviously are not exclusively theological, but they are deeply related to our faith. Now, the Sunday following January 6th, in traditional church calendars, every year observes a baptism of our Lord. And when the gospel writers tell the Jesus story, baptism is crucial. Everything starts at the river where Jesus entered the waters and placed himself in the arms of his cousin John. It's the first common record of Jesus' life among all four gospels. And the heavens were opened, and the Spirit descended upon him as a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Impressive and inspiring words and an occasion, in sharp contrast to what we saw Wednesday, which has drawn out very deep human emotions from all of us and anxieties. We feel afraid for ourselves, for our country, our children, and our neighbors. We can perhaps feel blinding anger or frustration over what we saw, the almost insanity of some of it. But each of us must wrestle with the question of what we will do with our fear and anger. So I think it's a wonderful time for us to remember our baptism. God's voice spoke, acknowledging that Jesus was claimed by God and called to do something special. And so when we preachers challenge our congregations to remember your baptism, the challenge is actually to remember that you too, just like Christ, publicly in baptism belong to God and are called to do something special. At some point in time, a voice spoke your name and said to you, "This is my beloved child with whom I am well pleased." God publicly claims us at baptism. God sends unearned, unconditional love our way. The grace of God, no more and nowhere is it more visibly symbolized than in baptism. "This is my beloved child, whom this day I choose as my own, not because of your merit, but out of my mercy. I choose you as part of my family." That's a message of baptism, one which should grip and inspire us and sustain us. It's a public symbol that we are publicly claimed by a loving Lord. And we are also called to do something special in our own ways. The Spirit descended upon Jesus as a dove, and we believe the Spirit is active in our baptism. The Spirit descends upon you and me, calling us not simply to be God's children, but also to be Jesus' helpers in a wounded, weary world. We are claimed in spite of ourselves. And once we become aware of how deeply we are loved by God, we find ourselves loved into loving the way Jesus does. And we express that love by how we do our living in the world. God, Jesus, love us into loving. The Gospel of John tells us that Jesus was the Word of God, and in the beginning there was the Word at the beginning of creation. Jesus is the Word of God become flesh, who is here to recreate us. Our baptismal language includes the image of being grafted to Christ, for he himself has said that he is the vine and we are the branches. And as branches, Jesus calls upon us to bear fruit. As a matter of fact, he says of true followers, by their fruits you shall know them. Jesus, the Word, said, the first shall be last, the last shall be first, and blessed are the poor in spirit. Humility is a fruit that is shown by those claimed by Jesus. Those who claimed Jesus 2020 and Jesus saves on their actions Wednesday did not show this fruit, as they justified violence because they couldn't admit they were wrong. Jesus, the Word, said, those who seek to save their life must lose it. Those who claimed Jesus 2020 and Jesus saves this past Wednesday did not show this fruit of selflessness as they pursued selfish defense of their beliefs. Jesus, the Word, said, love your enemy, pray for those who persecute you. Mercy and peacefulness are fruits that show our life in Christ. And how critical this is today, when there may be no doubt that for many people the perceived enemies have become those who stand on one side or the other of our nation's political divide, those represented actually in our communities, our churches, and even our families. Those who claim Jesus 2020 and Jesus saves on Wednesday showed the fruit not of mercy and peacefulness, but of hatred fanned into a willingness to harm and even produce threats to kill. Jesus, the Word, said, my kingdom is not of this world. And those who claim Jesus 2020 and Jesus saved on this last Wednesday showed instead the fruit of toxic chauvinism that claim Jesus for only their part of a nation that is itself but one of the nations under God's care and God's eye. We must never compromise or distort our Christian faith in service to the idol of political power, because Jesus is not a presidential candidate 2020 or any other year. Jesus, the Word, said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Those who claim Jesus 2020 and Jesus saves last Wednesday showed the fruit of falsehood. Suspicion and conspiracy theories have distorted and disconnected thinking from reality for some people, and we must commit firmly to the truth, even and especially when it hurts our pride, or when we lose, or when it calls for sacrifice. So hear this. any Jesus 2020 fans who might be listening. Jesus is not to be reduced and used as a symbol of any purified, divinely blessed agenda for a nation. He is the risen and living Lord of all, the way, the truth, and the life. The salvation he offers is not the success of anyone's political candidate or the realization of anyone's national agenda. It is a forgiveness of sinners, a release of captives, healing of the sick, justice for the poor, resurrection of the dead. Christ is victor, and we may humbly hope to be more than conquerors through him who loved us. We must live constantly from the deep truth that our worth doesn't come from victory, triumph, or any other kind of power or worldly influence. Our worth is secured by the love of God in Jesus Christ for us. And so, in this baptism of our Lord Sunday, I ask you, I charge you, remember your baptism. You have been born publicly and for special witness. Now is a time for us all to live into that calling. Let us pray. O God, who claims us as your own and who calls us to be your partners in the world, descend as a dove, rest upon us, and work through us, we pray. Amen.